Your attention, please.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Is this haunted room actually stretching?
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
There's no turning back now.
I'm Ryan Bergara, and welcome to the saddest podcast on Earth, where three grown adults commiserate over their separation anxiety from the happiest place on Earth during quarantine. Each episode, we'll work through our sorrow by breaking down Disneyland by category and then discussing our consensus top five things in that category, as well as what we believe the singular worst thing in that category is. And today's category is high experiences. Just a couple disclaimers up top here. First, we're only covering experiences in the Disneyland Resort, so that's Disneyland proper and California Adventure, as well as accompanying hotels and downtown Disney. Second, we define experiences as attractions or shows. We'll do foods in a separate episode. Third, we miss Disneyland, but we're not here hoping it's going to open before it's safe to do so. We made this pod as a therapeutic device to talk about Disneyland until it can safely open. And finally, this list is once again a consensus among the three of us, formed by a point system. So we each made our own top five, and a ranking of first is worth 5 points, a ranking of second is worth 4 points, and so on and so on and so on. And then I tallied the scores to create this aggregate ranking. As such, only I know the contents of the list, and the rankings will be revealed live to the other two. Speaking of the other two, I'm joined today by Byron Marin and Amanda. Our other co-host is out of office today. But Byron and, like, the absentee Amanda are the only two people I know that have an unhealthy obsession with Disneyland like I do. And between the three of us, we've logged an alarming 2,000-plus visits to the park. All that being said, high experiences.
I can't believe we're doing this.
Yeah. And I would just like to...
Some mood we're in.
I would like to mention that, you know... Nothing we say in this podcast can be held against us. This is purely fictional. You know what I mean?
It's a theoretical.
This theoretically, all these things theoretically happen.
Situation.
Happened. This. I'm forming this list as if I were to partake in an elevated experience at the happiest place on Earth. That being said, let's get into these high experiences. I'm talking about just like high on life. Let's make it. Let's get into this here. Byron, obviously, this list was fun to make.
It was, because it's hard to feel like there's that much pressure when you're dealing with high experience, because you could always just blame it on, I'm high on life.
That's true. Elevated is what I like to say, actually. This list was hilarious for me to make, but I was actually surprised by how difficult it was to cut it down to five, because there are so many things in this park that are very, very funny or just a blast to be on in an elevated state. And here's my criteria for making this list. For me, a good high experience is either something that is inordinately relaxing or stimulating or like thrilling, I guess, maybe you could use that synonymously with stimulating. It has to be one of those two things. Sometimes even both, and that's usually what gets it to crack this list for me. That's what I use for my list.
I like that you bring up relaxing, because I think I definitely went more with the latter.
No, I think it.
But I could definitely see that. That's a good call.
Here's the thing: none of my relaxing ones made it into the list because we'll get into that later. I'll have to wedge it in for an honorable mention. Anyways, let's just start this. This list, already silly to begin with. Basically, we're going to list six things here instead of five, and that's because first and second were a tie, third and fourth were a tie, and fifth and sixth were a tie. So it's like 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B, 3A, 3B.
This means we all had, we must have had completely different answers.
I mean, similar and then not similar at all. And also, this is why it's best that we use this format when there's three of us. Amanda is no longer with us today. Oh, well, she's with us. She's alive and she's still on this podcast. She's just, she's, I think, on vacation or something like that.
Doing more productive stuff than what we're doing right here.
And
right
I would
now.
Like to mention, she did not excuse herself from this podcast based on the subject matter. She's only just not here because she had other things to do, like a vacation or something like that.
And we do have good news for you.
Yeah.
She will be live tweeting when this is published.
Oh, that's true. She will be live tweeting this episode, which we've gifted her. I can't wait to see those tweets.
So I'm sure you'll get some of her takes.
If you didn't know that, Amanda is in total control of our social handles at SaddestPod, which is both our handle for Twitter and Instagram. Byron and I do little to no work on that because we're bad at it. So she just does it all because that's what she's good at it. Okay. All the explanation that's needed for that. Let's just move into the list. Let's start with, I don't even know what to call this. I guess I'll call it 3B. Let's go for 3B. So in a weird way, this is almost like a top three list when it's six items. It's very strange. All right, 3B is Fantasmic. We all know it. We all love it. Let's move to Byron. And where was this on your list?
I put this fourth.
You put this fourth.
Could have easily been higher, but...
Agreed. Why did this make your list here?
For quite a few reasons. Like, yeah, first off, when do you get to like enjoy like an outside stage show that has that kind of production value?
Yeah.
You're just getting hit on all cylinders. You got the music, the sound effects bumping.
Yeah.
You got the visuals, you got the open air atmosphere, the lighting is outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, pyrotechnics.
But what makes it a stony experience? That's the question I'm going to thread throughout this podcast, because let's say you and your buddy are eating a magical piece of candy, and then you say, here's why you're going to have to look forward to this experience.
Because all your senses are heightened at that point.
Yeah.
So when you're getting the lights, you could feel like when the fire goes up, when you're battling the dragon, the story, like arc, how it takes the dark turn with all the villains coming in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It you know, so it instills like a little bit of that dark element, a little bit of that fear, and then brings it back. It's just, I think when you're in that state of mind, all your senses are heightened to take in all that. why am I trying to get in depth here?
This is such a stupid podcast. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Look, one of my favorite things about being in a certain state is that when I am, I often forget the plot of whatever I'm watching if it's a narrative thing. And Fantasmic is one of the few narrative shows at Disneyland, in the resort, that is. And so I often get the pleasure of experiencing Fantasmic almost as if from the first time when I'm in this state. And I enjoy that because, like you said, there's a dark turn and there's like, oh my God, is Mickey's nightmare? Is this going to become a nightmare Fantasmic? Is it going to become a nightmare for Mickey's little dreamland?
You do kind of have like this re-remembering element. Oh, that's how it goes.
Yeah. I become much like a child, honestly, when I'm in a certain state.
Would you say like a little bit of that is like vulnerability?
Yeah, it's just things are heightened. There seems to be more purity in the world. Things are just funnier in general.
Things seem a little bigger, right?
They seem a little bit bigger. And yeah, I don't know. I think that all is conducive to the Fantasmic experience. Now, this was not on my list, but I did. It's weird because it was either going to be on my list quite high or it was not going to be on my list at all. And that'll make sense later. But it easily could have been on my list. For what it's worth, this is my favorite show at Disneyland. I love Fantasmic. I often try and usually fail to get people in my party to stay for Fantasmic because by that time they've either moved on or they want to see the fireworks or something like that, because Fantasmic is usually wedged in between the two. It's wedged in a sense like next to the fireworks show, and then the later showing is usually too late for people that I'm with because we're old now.
There is a possum sitting right behind you.
Oh my God, there is.
Isn't that crazy?
And a cat.
There's a cat and a possum both on that same
fence.
Are
they buddies or is the cat going for it?
I don't know. Let me
They're hanging out.
Let me just see. Hold on.
I shit you not. Are you fucking kidding me?
Hold on.
This is incredible.
I'm recording video.
I think they're bros.
Oh man, that possum is huge. And the cat. Look at, they're chilling out. They're just like talking to each other.
Right? And now the cat's turning around. This is unbelievable.
That's crazy. I was wondering because I saw your eyes kind of go up and look behind me. And I was like, did I say something offensive about Fantasmic? And I guess that we just have an audience here.
That's a...
That possum is scary looking, by the way.
This is an elevated experience. We're really going off the rails here, but this is actually happening. A possum has breached the set.
That is crazy.
Of our podcast.
Dude, that possum is mean looking, too. Like, possums just have scary faces. I don't like it. He's now turned in a way where we could see directly down his butthole.
He's turned back.
Because we're sitting at such an angle where we could only really see the butthole.
Oh, no, he's crawling down the wall now.
And now he's crawling towards me. I'm starting to get...
Now he's... Okay, he looks like he's going... This is unbelievable. It's like... Speaking of elevated experiences,
I won't lie.
This is,
I'm slightly alarmed here. This is.
Well, I'll let you know if it comes your way. But
if it does, I'm breaking.
I don't think possums like to deal with. If it was a raccoon or something, then I would be a little more.
Do you think he thinks that we are non-human because we have these Mickey ears on?
That'd be
serious question.
Oh, I'd like to think no, but that would be really funny if that was the case.
Like you think he's you've caught.
He's walking right behind us. This is unbelievable.
Oh my God, dude, I am so scared right now.
Do I just charge him? I guess.
Oh, dude. Oh wait. Okay. Hold on. Yeah. Oh, dude, I'm so scared.
Dude, you go into haunted houses for a living.
I know.
He's.
I don't fuck with possums. Man.
We're panicking over a possum.
Where'd it go?
It went. It crawled back under the fence. Yeah.
Wow, that was a really scary moment there for us here at Watcher. Or not Watcher, fucking. That was real. That's a different company. They did not want to be associated with this podcast. I can't imagine why. Anyways, let's get back to our high experience of Fantasmic. this easily could have been on my list. It's my favorite show. I used to recreate Fantasmic with my little brother at home in the pool. We would do the little Mickey sorcerer routine where he summons all the things at the end. I love how he appears at the top of Big Thunder Mountain, or not Big Thunder Mountain, Tom Sawyer's Island. Jesus, I got possum brain right now. It's just a great show and a narrative experience to watch while you're high, and just the pretty colors. Also, a good diversity of fireworks in this show. They got that really fun one that is like it looks like a pinwheel. I always enjoy that when I'm in when I'm in an elevated state, and it's just a fun show to watch. Lots to soak in visually and auditorily too.
That music's actually kind of iconic.
It
as
is.
Well, you can hear it from like quite a ways away and be like, "All right, Fantasmic."
I mean, look, this may be a hot take, but Fantasmic score, a banger. They on Spotify, they actually have the full, like, 27-minute soundtrack of it that has, like, all of the voices and stuff. I listen to it all the time. I listen to it all the time in the car. And I got to say, when you see this in person in this state, it really just all comes together. This just the audio-visual combination is great. Also, like, there's the faint hint of, like, the mist hitting you if you're in a certain place. Not to an uncomfortable level, but, like, on a nice summer night. That mist and air blowing on you while you're seeing all this, it's a lot. A lot in a great way, by the way. So let's move on to 3A, which is the companion for Fantasmic, the fireworks. Now, Byron, yeah, what do you think about this one? Where was the fireworks show on your list?
It wasn't on my list. It's a great choice. Yeah, it's just one of those that fell to the wayside for me, but it's definitely deserving.
Yeah, it's amazing. Fireworks for me was number 4 on my list, which is why it resulted in this tie for third place, because we each gave it 2 points. Fireworks, in particular, The one I am thinking of, I love all the fireworks shows that they have, but the one I'm thinking of in particular is Remember Dreams Come True. That's my goat fireworks show. I love that one. It's just a great kind of roundup of all of the fun rides in the park. And when you're, you know, high, having just like all of the best audio snippets of all of your favorite rides being kind of spoon fed to you with the facade of a delicious fireworks display is so goddamn cool. And just, I don't know, there's something that the big pops of the fireworks hit differently after you've taken a hit.
I think your subconscious is like also has the popcorn programmed in there.
It's possible. I often say that making a bowl of popcorn on the stovetop, which is how I make it, is like watching a fireworks display. Or, in some cases, and when it's first starting to sizzle, there's a helicopter going over my head right now, but I'm just going to push through. And when you first start to pop a bowl of popcorn, it kind of sounds like a round of applause. Like a... like the beginnings of it. Fireworks, same thing. Fireworks, popcorn... pretty much the same bang for your buck there in terms of what you're getting. Popcorn also, by the way, excellent while elevated. If you could pair it, have the popcorn with the fireworks, now you're having a great time because you're getting it on the inside and on the outside. But I just think the nostalgia of the fireworks, in the particular this show, I actually didn't do my research in the sense of I don't think this one's actually active anymore. It always comes back, though, so... but yeah, this, I love watching a fireworks show while elevated. And, this is fantastic. It's just like, I don't know. There's just an awe to fireworks. Fireworks are never better than when you're a child. So like I said before, being high puts me in a childlike state and this is amazing.
Where's your spot?
Where's my spot?
Yeah.
Fireworks spot. I'm not going to reveal that. Because I don't want people taking it. it certainly isn't the spot of many tourists, which I will say is just stopping where they're walking in the middle of the road. Having anxious cast members usher them away, being like, hey, you can't stop just walking. anyways, that's number 3A. Let's move on to number 2B. And now we're getting into some fun stuff here. Big Thunder Mountain is number 2B. Jesus. That's next on the list. Now, Byron, this was on your list.
It was. Let me recall where I put it on the list. Came in at 3 for me.
At 3.
So, not bad. No. I don't know. I'm a bit of a roller coaster nut.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once again, as things are heightened... I just love the dips and turns. It's like also pretty dark at night, which is usually the time you have an elevated state of mind. Being inside the caves with the falling water and the colors in there. Speaking of which, I went to Bryce Canyon this past weekend.
so, yeah, you did.
So maybe that had a little bit of going into it. I'm fresh off hiking those trails and seeing what led to the inspiration for Big Thunder Mountain Railroad as far as the rock work and design. Beautiful area. So if you're ever in Utah, give it a go.
What was it like being in the presence of what was the inspiration for the rocks, I suppose? Like were you taken back immediately? Here's the question, I guess. I often will see things that Disneyland has incorporated into the park. Like I had never been to New Orleans until a couple years ago. And I had only known New Orleans through New Orleans Square in Disneyland. So I found myself feeling really stupid walking around New Orleans for the first time going, wow, this looks just like Disneyland.
That's the thing, though. It's impressive. Because when I was in Bryce Canyon, I was like, man, they really crushed it. And this ride came out in the 70s.
Yeah. That's,
and I was like, man, they nailed the rock. Like, obviously, it's way more grand when you're there in person.
So I was wondering, did you fulfill the prophecy of being the worst Disney adult of just like saying, wow, this is just like Disneyland to Bryce Canyon?
luckily, I didn't.
Oh, good,
luckily,
good.
The scale of it was so big, but I couldn't help but thinking, wow, they really did this justice.
Yeah.
Even like a lot of the rock work around Utah, because even there are some mountain ranges and stuff that just like, wow, like Radiator Springs. It's like, it's totally that. It's amazing how well they yeah. do with that rock work.
The twists and turns of this ride are fun while high. I'm not gonna lie, when I'm high, I also kind of zone in and hyperfixate on just like a couple different things in certain experiences. And for me, for Big Thunder, it's always the barking or howling of the coyotes.
Yeah.
When you go under them, under that like one dip.
It's that first tunnel, or it's that first, I don't want to say, like that first brake run you hit. After
yeah.
The first roller coaster.
You pass the possum that's hanging on the tree branch, which, by the way, not the possum that we just saw.
And it howls and it almost like fades out as you go underground.
It's a beautiful fade out when you go into that tunnel, because you could kind of hear the echoing
yep.
of the. It's like a howl, but it's also like a bark. But I love it, love it so much, and I really hone in on that when I'm high. And it's really like I look forward to it every time I get on this ride in the state.
Do you stare at the goat?
No, that's too much for me when I'm high, to be honest. Yeah. I do when I go on this ride normal.
I face the goat, and if you hold it for as long as possible into, like, the helix that happens, which basically just means, like, spinning in a circle.
Yeah.
After that moment, it does it for a while. If you could actually hold that, for whatever reason, yeah. it disorients you to the point where you feel the G-forces way more.
Interesting.
I'm not a physicist, but yeah. if you can hold that position, you'll feel it in your gut, kind of how you feel it, like, on big drops at, like, a big theme park or a big roller coaster.
Yeah.
Say big theme park. That doesn't make sense. It's the biggest of theme parks.
You know what I like about this list is the sample size is not nearly as large as any of our other lists, because, like, I'm not high that often at the park. So this is really like drawing from a much smaller group.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it's really just going back to like specific experiences that I've had on these rides. And I know that the times I've been on this ride while high, I don't enjoy the goat thing, because it just makes me all dizzy. But I do love the audio from this ride, like the train audio and all of the animals and the rock work, because it does kind of make – it does transport me into that environment more so than when I'm not high. I'll say that.
Yeah. I don't know, especially when it's dark.
Oh, yeah. This
just
ride
hearing
is
that
primo.
Train, it kind of echoes. It's kind of hollow back there.
You could even pair this with fireworks, by the way. We've talked about that on a past episode, but pairing Big Thunder Mountain with fireworks while also high is like a trifecta that you really want to be living in. I haven't personally, but I imagine it would be great. I should probably try that at some point, and, you know, we could compare notes.
Yeah, you got to time it.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move on here from Big Thunder. Let's go to 2A. What do we got here? Ooh, this is a good one. 2A... Splash Mountain.
Interesting.
Now, don't even have to go up with the charade here. Byron, this was not on your list.
It wasn't.
This was on my list.
You know what? I appreciate it.
Big Thunder, or not Big Thunder, Splash Mountain, the other mountain, its distant cousin over in Critter Country, everyone's favorite land. they like that one in the house. Splash Mountain kind of falls into that stimuli conversation I was talking about earlier, in that I like a little element of danger when I'm high, almost kind of like, and that danger, by the way,
so you enjoy the possibility of getting wet.
Exactly. Cause it becomes hilarious when you're the one who doesn't get wet. And this ride in particular, I'm talking about getting on Splash Mountain at night while high. There's a great story, that Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone tell. I think it's just Andrew Garfield tells the story of him and Emma Stone going on Splash Mountain while on edibles. And it's very funny. But I basically what I'm saying is I'm basically Andrew Garfield.
But what separates Splash Mountain from, say, like a Grizzly River Run?
It's funny that you would ask that, and maybe Grizzly River Run may
unless
appear.
You actually ranked Grizzly River Run on this.
It may appear later on the list in some way or fashion. Let's just say that. I don't want to give away any spoilers here. But the danger of getting wet when nobody wants to get wet is so goddamn funny. Even when we're just talking sober here. But when you add the high element to it, which heightens all of your feelings, you really really don't want to get wet. And when you do get wet, it feels colder than it actually is. And that fills you with fear. But that fear is replaced with satisfaction when you are, in fact, the person who doesn't get wet and someone else in your group
just gets beamed by an entire wave of water on Splash Mountain. In particular, anyone who knows this ride knows that that middle drop, the one that kind of has like a, it's
that
almost
that
like
roller
a,
coaster element. Yeah, where it like kind of float. It goes down, but then it quickly zips you back up.
Yeah, there's like a serpentine.
Into a splash.
It's a serpentine,
and it reams almost everyone. I feel like every time.
Well, what happens is it doesn't attack you from the front. It's one of those things that the wave hits you from the side.
Oh, it spills onto your shoes.
Yeah,
and
now you got that squeaky sock situation, which is not a good situation when you're high. But like I said, very funny when one of your friends has a lap full of water, and you could all giggle about it. It's elementary, I know, but there's nothing better than watching someone, this lets you know what kind of person I am. There's nothing better than watching your friend in real time be miserable, and then having them, as they get soaked by the water that they didn't want, have them have to be subjected to da 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 da. And it's just the most jolly music in a very unjolly situation for that person, and it really makes me laugh. And also that music becomes so menacing when you're high.
Yeah, it's the Laughing Place song, which is very fitting for that moment.
It is.
In the ride.
It's menacing in the buildup, and it's menacing after. In the buildup, it arguably is more suspenseful because you're like, shit, stop laughing. I don't want to get wet.
Yeah.
And there's no lion. Another thing, too. Lions, when you're high, bummer. Big bummer.
Okay, yeah. Specifically Splash Mountain at night. I could definitely get on board with
it. No, it's good stuff.
And have participated in it. It's a real knockout.
And also, here's part two of why this is a great high ride, or high experience, rather. It comes with a very, very satisfying on-ride photo at the end. Splash Mountain, we all know it, one of the best on-ride photos in the game, if not the best. And we're probably going to have a top five on that at some point. But, you know, really, really prime spot to catch some excellent high faces on this ride of just abject terror or glee when you're going down that briar patch drop.
I feel like Splash Mountain photos would be an interesting one to Google, like Google Image.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure there's some real winners in there.
The photo of Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone on this high is so funny.
I gotta look into this.
And it's funny because
I can't believe I didn't know about that.
Here's actually some of my favorite. There's two way high photos could go. They're either, oh, I had no idea that they were high, but now that I know, this photo's very funny because it's obvious to me now. Or it goes the complete opposite, where it's like, this person is clearly the highest person on earth. and you would have never not guessed it. Like, it's so obvious. And I will say, look, it's very obvious when I am...
Your possum's back.
Is he? Oh, my God, dude. I heard, like, the fence, and it freaked me out. I feel like I'm in an episode of Unsolved here. Jesus, that possum is horrifying. He's mean mugging me. We have goddamn Tony Soprano over here sitting on this fucking fence. What do you want?
He is a very confident young possum.
I think so. Maybe he has a high possum story to share. I'm not going to pass him the mic, though. This is my podcast. What was I saying before we got interrupted by the possum again? I forget. I was talking about... Jesus, I got possum brain again. Oh my God, he's so scary. It's, you know what it is? It's, you can't see his eyeballs because there's that black patch of fur around each of his eyes. So it's just,
yeah,
he looks like he's like the devil. I don't,
he's trying to take in the show.
I don't, what do you want from us, dude?
This is unbelievable.
It really is. I'm going to take more video of this because this is unprecedented. Do you think he'll freak out if I turn my light on? Oh, he probably will, right?
He probably thinks this is his home, and we just stomped on it.
All right, I'm going to do a risky move here. I'm going to turn on my phone flashlight.
Oh, yes. Go for it.
Oh, God.
Maybe he'll run away. Nope, he's not moving at all.
Oh, my God, dude. This is so scary. Look at his eyes. They're just fucking... Oh. This possum is legit the devil.
Nah, he's chilling. He's just very confident.
You can't see what this possum's eyes look like in this video. This possum is a big one, too. He's walking around here terrorizing us like Bane from Batman. Just walking with his hands in his vest. You know how Bane walks around?
Yeah. Oh, off he goes.
Goodbye. All right. As I was saying.
So fucking random.
What was I saying before? I love how we spent so long on an experience that no one who's listening to this could. I will share that on our Instagram. Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah. God, where were we?
I forget. We were talking about ride photos. But let's move on here. Oh, you know what? I like the synergy of this, so I'm going to go 1B. Let's hit them with another mountain. Space Mountain. Where was this on your list?
I put this as number one.
And I put this as number two.
Flying around in the dark with an amazing soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, it it doesn't get much
And once again, this. Everything's heightened. So when you're flying through not knowing, you know, where your next turn is, yeah, it's all elevated. So and then in that state of mind, it feels faster than it usually does.
Oh, absolutely. And that's already going with the probably incorrect information that I'm operating on, which is Space Mountain is faster at night. I don't think that's even true.
It could be. Only because, well, there's probably multiple reasons, but one being earlier in the day when the cars are first running, they don't run as fast.
Why is that?
They have to get warmed up.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. I didn't think that was a thing, but apparently roller coasters are slowest at the beginning of the day and they take a little bit to warm up.
What the hell? That's crazy. I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Or according to all these roller coaster nerds out there, that's
roller coaster enthusiasts on the boards.
Yeah. that's what they say. So that'd be my best guess.
Yeah.
That roller coasters go faster as the day progresses.
Jesus, man.
I'm sure a lot of it has to do with who's in your train too.
That's true. Just from a gravity standpoint, I'm sure that they would factor that in though, because if there was like a train full of particularly heavier people, then wouldn't that be a danger? Because then that train would careen into the back of another. I don't know.
No, because they have block sections with brakes.
Oh, I see.
So if one train doesn't get through the next block station, the other train won't get to make it through theirs, so it'll hit the brakes instead of continuing the ride.
Oh, man, you're like Dr. Roller Coaster.
And Space Mountain has a ton of them. That's why they're able to operate so many trains.
That's great. Anyways, Space Mountain, for me, boy, where do I even begin with this in terms of high experience? Spoiler alert, it's my number one high ride. It's not my number one high experience, but ride it is. And I'll tell you why. I know there's not really a narrative element to it, but I'm okay with that because it really does just allow me to fully take in all of the stimuli of this ride. And I would argue that the lack of stimuli, which you get visually, because it's in the dark, really just has you hone in on that audio, that music, that beautiful soundtrack by Michael Giacchino, which is exhilarating as well. And it makes me, when I'm high, I already hyperfixate on one thing, like I was saying, and I'm already kind of honing in on that music. And this is another bit of the ride that's actually aiding me in focusing in on that soundtrack, which makes it all the more thrilling, and it just hits even harder. Also, that I've talked about this in the Sounds podcast, that power chamber transfer, when you're going up that lift and you all the wall changes color.
It's a feast for the eyes.
Accompanied by the sound effects, like the...
And then it's so loud.
And it just like the power level transfer, the... Amazing. It's so much beautiful lead up and build up for this ride. So that when you actually do go into the complete sensory deprivation of being in the dark, sensory deprivation being visual, it delivers. And the wind blowing on your face while you're going up all those lifts.
Do your eyes ever feel a little watery by the end of it?
Oh, absolutely.
Cool
sometimes I come off
face.
This and I'm just crying. Not because of like happy tears, but because of like the wind blowing in them. Maybe because of happiness, who knows? But boy, is this an experience. Also, we can't talk
another
about
great photo opportunity.
I was just about to say we can't talk about this in terms of a high context without talking about how hilarious this on-ride photo is.
Some of our best, I believe.
It's the best high-ride photo op. It's not the best photo op in the park, frankly, because it produces horrible photos of people. That's often because people don't really know where the photo is being taken. I often, when I'm at the end of Space Mountain, feel the sensation that the car is moving backwards. It's very disorienting being in that photo tunnel. And that's reflected in the pictures, whether or not you are under the influence or not. And almost all the time I look fucking stupid in these pictures, but especially when I'm high, because I often forget that the photo's coming because I'm so wrapped up in the ride. And by the time I get to that photo tunnel,
I have the doofiest look on my face that you could possibly have.
I think even when you know it's coming, it's a hard one to get right.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if you want, you could take a trip on down to at Ryan Bergara on Instagram if you want to look at some Space Mountain photos and play the Is He High or Not game. It'll be fairly obvious which ones I am in. There's a photo, one in particular. Did I post it? I don't know if I posted it. I don't think I posted it because I looked, honestly, way too high. There's a photo that was taken of me on Space Mountain where, without exaggeration, I truly look like the highest man on Earth. And Byron also next to me, giving me a run for my money. It's a very funny photo. It's a photo that every time I look at it, I'm reminded of how fun that experience was, but also how just ridiculous we were in that moment. And I just laugh my ass off. And here comes the possum again. By the way, I don't know if you heard this on the podcast, but you heard like a little rustling. I thought it was somebody opening a door next to me. It's the possum's footsteps on this fence. That's how chunky this possum is.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, this possum.
Right above me now. Do not go for the tree, dude. Do not go for that tree. Don't you fucking think about it.
Dude, you're so much more brave than me. I would have been out of there.
Nah, dude. He's chill. He's just very curious.
Why does he keep coming back? Does he not know what's going on? But or is he like...
He needs to understand this is our ground right
is it,
now.
Is this kind of when you're like circling for parking in LA and you just keep doing the same lap and you're hoping that the next lap, one of the cars will be gone? He's probably thinking like one of these two dipshits going to be gone from my yard. And I don't blame him. Anyways, very funny Space Mountain. Maybe my favorite on-ride photo I've ever taken. All right, let's move on. Number one, A. You know, we're, you know, nothing's... these are tied for first. World of Color. I mean, this was number one on my list. Number two for Byron. Let's talk about it. Why is this the top dog in terms of shows for highness?
Well, for starters... You got to keep in mind you're going to a Disney park.
Yeah.
And this just packs in everything that just makes you feel, you know, happy about Disney.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, it gives you basically a highlight reel of all the bangers set to this amazing display of waterworks and lighting, amazing music, speakers are bumping, and it's like a 20-minute show.
Yeah.
And it's all some of the best stuff. Like, there's, like, the Pirates of the Caribbean segment when they're really, throwing
fantastic.
The flames out at you. You know you love that score. Yeah. That music's so iconic.
And Byron, like I, we religiously listen to film scores. Not just Disney scores, but film scores. But the Disney film scores always hit differently for me. And this show is basically just showcasing all of the great Disney film scores throughout time. Like Byron said, to a immaculate water fountain and light display. And I'll share an embarrassing fact about myself to make a point about why this is a great high show. When I first watched this show, sober I might add, I was moved to tears. I was legit moved to tears by how beautiful and just harmonious this show was. It was just, I couldn't even handle it. And I felt like ever since that first viewing, which I haven't been moved to that emotional state since, I've been chasing that dragon. And when I get into high state, this it gets me close to that first experience. It makes me kind of almost experience
it again
for the first
time. It's kind
of the
same thing you're saying about Fantasmic.
Exactly. Where
it's not all, your memory of it isn't quite as vivid, so when it comes to you again,
it's fantastic.
It's almost like experiencing it for the first time.
And here's what I was saying earlier about things being relaxing or stimulating. This show is both. This show has moments that are like, wow, what a showstopper. And you see how high the fountains go, or like the Buzz Lightyear segment, which is great, or the Lion King portion where we have the Stampede music coming in. Which, by the way, hits you right with the gut punch after you see you have to watch Mufasa die in the show.
Oh.
Which, like, the show could literally relax you in certain points, and it could make you feel exhilarated, it could make you feel sad, all in the same show, which is, like, the range of emotions you experience in this, especially when the emotions are heightened, is hard to top. Like, the beginning, when the show actually, the very beginning of the show, the fountains are on, like, low mode, and they're kind of just squirting up little like little balls.
Yeah, it's playing, and it's like playing the old music for like, because it gives you that vibe of the, like the old show.
Yeah, cool. Well, Tinkerbell just does like the Walt Disney World, the Wonderful World of Color, and then she has like this like little bling. But after that, it goes into this like really chill portion of the beginning of the show where it goes ding 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 ding. And every time that happens, I get chills. And especially when I'm high, because you kind of feel like the wind of the fountains in a weird way, or the screens, and the mist is hitting you, and it's just so beautiful. I don't really know how else to explain it.
And like those little fountains start dancing around a little bit.
Yeah.
They're not like shooting like high up yet, but they're just kind of like dancing around.
Exactly.
The water.
Oh, God. It's
and
just.
Yeah. It's almost like you're watching like an orchestra, you know, someone orchestrating.
It's relaxing, weirdly. And then it hits you with some of the showstopper numbers. Like, I love the rendition of Part of Your World in this show, where you could see kind of like the waves forming in the actual fountains. Like, it looks like whale fins. But it comes in the dun 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 dun. That part is amazing. The Under the Sea, obviously, a banger. We don't need to say that. Just bangers throughout this show, whether they're chill bangers or exciting ones or sad ones, like, you know, everyone's favorite track, Mufasa dying. It's just the show is so honestly kind of in a weird way. Exploitive, they know, and manipulative, they know what they're doing the entire show, and I don't even care. So it's fantastic. It's just such a great.
Are you ever
experience.
A little disappointed when it's like the holiday version?
Yes, the holiday
it's
version.
Not, it's not. It doesn't
really do it for me, because I don't associate holiday cheer in terms of like classic holiday music with Disneyland. I love the Christmas Fantasy Parade. Never watched it high because it just felt wrong. I imagine it's on there. Someone's starting a car. I think it's the Possum.
It's Fast and the Furious.
He's starting up his hog next door. Let's move on to honorable mentions here. My honorable mention, actually, let's go to you first, Byron. These are, by the way, items that we thought should have been on the list that were maybe on our own personal lists that did not.
Yeah, I couldn't put this on the list, but I got to do The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
Specifically for the elevated state of mind, there is something about that Heavalumps and Woozles experience.
What the f-
That is definitely wonky.
This actually is funny enough. I'm going to say it now. This is my dishonorable mention. So I'd like to hear your argument, and I'll present the counter argument.
I think you dislike what I like in this.
Yeah,
situation.
Maybe. Let's hear it. I'm curious.
I think to you it might seem disturbing. And
yes, it does.
Frightens you a little bit.
It's scary as hell.
To me, I find it darkly whimsical.
Yeah.
Just the right amount of unsettling for me. And what can I say? I love Pooh Bear. And we just went pitch black.
We just went pitch black. This is now
really set in the spooky mood.
Yeah. Honestly, as soon as we talked about Winnie the Pooh.
As I talk about Heavalumps and Woozles.
Yeah, our light went out in the backyard. And now I feel like I'm going to hear a low grumble from behind my head. And I'm gonna
the
hear.
Possum is making his move.
And I was about to say, we're just gonna hear. Ah, you think darkness is your ally? You merely adopted the dark. I was born in it, molded by it.
Yeah, it's basically like pitch black out here.
It's dark as hell, and this possum is about to move in on us like the League of Shadows. Anyways, this ride's horrifying. I don't like it. Everyone knows that the best thing for you when you're high is having an entire choir scream at you. Beware, be very, very scared.
It's pretty funny.
A straight up line of dialogue from this ride. And I'm like, yeah, I am scared, because after that, a colorful, horrifying elephant pops out from behind giant neon presents.
Yeah, super weird.
This is like an acid trip gone wrong. And to actually be in the state where you're, you know, heightened, not my favorite, I gotta say. It's horrifying. I don't like it.
It's exhilarating.
It's not exhilarating. You're weird.
There's no line for it. It's
great. Because it sucks. It's a bad ride in general, and then you add the high element to it, which makes it scary.
I'm not usually jonesing to get on Winnie the Pooh when I'm not in my elevated state of mind, but for that particular situation, it's great.
I'm not trying to trip balls here. I'm trying to have a fun time, and this is not a fun time. This is like giving me heart palpitations.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way.
I do.
But you're also
that.
The same kind of guy that just got terrified of a possum.
Yeah, because the possum looked like Batman's arch villain Bane.
It's a possum.
It's scary. That possum has a membership to 24 hour fitness.
As far as possums go, he is on the more aggressive side. As in, I can't believe he keeps
and muscular.
Back.
That dude's probably next door pumping iron.
Yeah, he's been doing some pull-ups for sure. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh. It's a
not fun for me.
And I just love Winnie the Pooh. That's why I got these ears.
Let's move to honorable mentions from myself here. Mine's Pirates. It was on my list. I feel like it should have been on the list. This is a perfect example of the relaxing high that I'm looking for. I often, when I'm high, listen to the Bayou Banjo. Which is a track on Spotify, which is the little banjo ditty that is playing in the guy's hut who's smoking his pipe on the rocking chair. Amazing. The ambiance of this ride is so relaxing, and it's one of those things where you could kind of just melt into your seat and just take it all in and just feel...
It is a nice long ride.
And feel as light as a feather and just really take in all of the environment. It's fantastic. I love it.
Now, although sometimes I will feel a little sleepy.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm fine with that because
I
like...
You got to get that energy back.
That's why, you know, it's not my number one, but it's something that relaxes me. But, you know, hell, if I went on Winnie the Pooh with you because you like terror, maybe I chase that with Pirates of the Caribbean because it'll chill me out. And also you get the nice clinking of the plates in the background of people eating fine dining. Love it.
There's never a bad time for pirates.
No, there isn't. It's just a fantastic ride. I don't think we need to go into much more than this. It's a narrative. The scenes are showstoppers. Very much a lot to take in, your eyes to feast on in an elevated state. And the smell of it is fantastic, as we talked about before. All of this makes for a very relaxing and safe experience for me. That's why it's my honorable mention. Let's move to dishonorables here, though. We already got one of mine, so I'm actually gonna do another one here. You could go with your dishonorable.
This one's tough.
Is it?
For me, a little bit. I'm gonna go, and it's kind of you're gonna shit on me here because it's a little bit in the realm of the Winnie the Pooh. I'm going with Snow White.
Oh, this is a great one. This is a fantastic one. You're talking about the watered-down version of Snow White, too, right? Because there was a...
Unfortunately, the one at the Magic Kingdom was apparently the scariest. Well, and then they updated ours, too.
And made it less scary.
Yeah, but it's still... the last time I went on it...
Possum's behind you. Yeah, it's a scary ride.
It's very dark, whereas, like... So, as, like, the Winnie the Pooh ride was kind of... a little spooky in like a trollish, colorful way.
Yeah.
Snow White is all just straight up terror and a witch after you. All dark. A lot of black. Just not, you know. It's just, it's made for horror. I'm surprised that they did it in the first place.
It's a horrifying... Fantasyland has
it
quietly...
It abruptly ends, so it doesn't leave you in like a happily ever after mindset, really.
Yeah. It's Fantasyland, by the way. My dishonorable mention is also in Fantasyland. It's Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. I could have gone with the easy choice here, which is Small World, because it's just a horrifying song when painted in a different context. Like, if you were to sing It's a Small World while murdering somebody, it'd be horrifying.
Yeah.
But Mr. Toad, just the idea that you're going on this whimsical adventure and then you'd get hit by a train... And then you're just in hell, and you're like, all right, get off the ride, fuckers.
It is a bad trip. It is definitely a bad trip.
It's so scary. And like I said, very much a childlike mind in an elevated state. You can't tell me I'm in hell and then be like, all right, get back into Fantasyland and go buy some corn dogs. That's not chill. I don't like that.
There's a part of me that could enjoy that.
That's weird. Also, there's that really scary judge in the hell scene. That he pops up, and he's like, he's literally
creepy.
Condemning you to hell.
Yeah, it's creepy.
I don't like it. And same thing with Snow White, the appearance of that witch, just like a boogeyman, that entire ride. And I have a keen eye looking for her. My eyes are constantly scanning in that ride when I'm high, to see where she's going to pop out. I've only been on that ride high once, and I will never do it again because it's too scary. Same thing with Mr. Toad.
I don't like scary experiences when I'm high.
These are supposed to be children's attractions.
I know.
It's pretty incredible.
What kind of weird, twisted sense of humor the Imagineers have to make these children's attractions? I still don't understand the Mr. Toad one. That's crazy to me.
Do you think, like, sometimes, I feel like this way with horror movies sometimes as well, that, like, older effects, for whatever reason, are still scarier to me?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
than modern ones?
To be fair, a judge with horns on his head telling you you're going to hell for the rest of your life is scary no matter what, regardless of whether the effect's old or new or how bad the figure looks. It's just not a chill setup. Especially when you're like, whoo, I can't wait to really feel this experience. And then you just feel the crushing defeat of going, well, I guess I'm in hell. Not fun.
Yeah, and you're a drunk driver.
Yeah, not fun. Not fun. Well, you know what? I think that does it for this episode. I don't know how excruciating that was, or incriminating even. Like I said, everything we talked about here was all part of our imagination. Just things that we could have imagined would be what they would be like if we were to
theoretically elevated inside a Disney park.
Yeah, wild imaginations you have with these two gents here. One of them being myself.
And we look forward to getting Amanda's top five.
Yeah, we do.
Amanda, you're not out of this. And we'll have to post your top five.
Also look forward to her live tweeting this as well. That being said, please follow us on @SaddestPod on Instagram and Twitter. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in.
All right. Take care, everybody.